King Solomon, who was without any contradiction the wealthiest man who has ever lived, was giving direction to his son, and of course he had more than one son, but to his son who was growing up in the midst of all the riches, the splendor of Solomon's court. And Solomon was advising his son to be sure that whatever else he had or didn't have, he would have the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. He identified the truth as something then of such value that a person should sacrifice everything he possessed in order to have it. The truth was something once possessed that must never be sold. It was to be held always. Solomon knew that the truth then is worth more than all the riches of this world. And he knew that as one who had access to all that wealth. He had so much wealth that compared to him, Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook billionaire, would be a pauper. That's how wealthy Solomon was. But his point was, if all you have is the truth, you are fabulously wealthy. And you must never trade the truth for anything else, whether money, or power, or fame. There are many who do not place a correct value on the truth. Paul wrote about Demas, but labored with him. And as Paul was coming to the end of his days in this world, he said that Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. There are many like Demas who value the present world more than they do the truth. King Solomon argued that such people are foolish. But the most wonderful aspect of the transaction that Solomon urged his son to complete when he urged him to buy the truth is that nobody has to use private resources to make this purchase. God has enabled you to buy the truth through the cost of his son's sacrifice. And he has ensured that it will never lose its value. So when you buy this truth, you're going to reap returns that will never diminish. So here in our text this evening, we find the true secret to what we may call the everlasting investment. The everlasting investment. It strikes me this evening that the young people who took part in this year's outreach initiative in Greenville were indeed engaged in this very thing. They were engaged in the use of the truth, of this everlasting investment. Sadly, though, when it comes to buying the truth, as they found out, there are some, in fact, more than a few, who don't have any interest in it. You would think that to know the truth would be a goal that everyone would have. But there are many who would rather enjoy the pleasures of this world and live the lie rather than knowing the truth. There are many who are content to go on in their sin and who have no regard for the truth. But it is only when you gain the truth, Solomon was saying, that you come to understand the world, that you come to think clearly. The context, and we read some of the context, indicates that only those children who buy the truth and refuse to sell it bring joy to their parents. That's why Solomon said to his son, "Give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways." To buy the truth, then, is to surrender the heart. When you buy the truth, you surrender to the Lord your heart. You learn to walk in His ways. There are some who may have some knowledge, factually, of the elements of the truth, but they have not bought the truth. That is, they can tell you things about the truth, but they have not bought the truth. They still are invested, if you will, in the world. Well, this text is an exhortation for such people to follow the Lord. It's also an admonition to believers to be governed by the truth so that their lives will be to the praise of the Lord's glory. Now, this evening, I want to just leave with you three simple thoughts concerning our text, things for you to take with you and to dwell upon. First of all, let us consider the most precious commodity. It is the truth. Here's the thing that should take your attention. You have to consider the truth as having such value that you would take everything you have and sell it, if necessary, in order to be able to buy the truth. Buy the truth. The attitude of the buyer is that he must have this truth. Now, in the marketplace, those who want to have something are seldom deterred, if they have sufficient resources, by the price of the item. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of such a man in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Let's just turn briefly to that Gospel. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And let us look at verse 44. The Lord said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." The treasure of which our Lord speaks here is the truth. The pearl of great price is the truth. So what the Lord was saying is, follow the example of those men in the parables. Desire the truth above everything else. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you have the truth. In a political campaign here, you hear a lot of lies. And believe me, you haven't heard the beginning of them yet. A lot of lies. It's wonderful to get to the point where you don't even have to listen to those people anymore because you know what the truth is. And frankly, I've kind of lost my interest in listening to them. Because when they tell me something that I know is not true, I don't see the need to keep listening. The truth is God's holy word. The psalmist spoke of the truth in that Psalm 119. We considered that psalm in our prayer meetings last year. Spent a lot of time going through the various sections of the psalm, but the psalmist spoke of that truth. If you want to know the truth, if you want to buy the truth, you cannot discover it apart from the Bible. You want to know how the world began? You have to go to the Bible. You want to know about your own condition as a descendant of Adam, a sinner? You have to read about that in the Bible. If you want to know the truth about the way of salvation, you have to read about it in the Bible. The sad thing about our time is that for many, especially in our society, there is a familiarity, at least, with the Bible and easy access to it that have depressed its apparent value. But in the Middle Ages, to buy a Bible, you would have to pay the majority of what you would earn in a year. Now, you think about that in modern terms, whatever you make in a year. For our younger people, they don't have to spend too much time thinking about it because they don't make that much. But you think about what you make in a year and having to spend most of that just to get one copy of a Bible. Now, don't you think that people who made such a sacrifice would regard the Bible as a rare treasure? Do you think that they would throw it in a corner, set it on the floor? That which made the Bible a treasure for them was not only what they had to pay to get it, but that in it they found the truth about Jesus Christ. Because he is the truth that you must buy. The Bible describes the Lord Jesus as the fairest of 10,000, the altogether lovely one, the very embodiment of the truth, God manifest in the flesh, so that every word he ever spoke was the word of God. Think of the disciples spending all those days with him. In all that Jesus said, whether it's written down in the scriptures or not, in all that Jesus said, they heard him speak as God manifest in the flesh. Buy this truth and sell it not. You can never have anything more valuable than the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, have you bought the truth? Do you have the truth? If you don't, then there's more wonderful news. Because the second thing that we find here is concerning the most gracious provision. The most gracious provision. You can buy the truth without having to spend any of your own money. This is a great deal. For God, in his grace, has provided everything that you need to buy the truth. The price of this truth is far beyond your ability to provide from your own resources to purchase it. But in the Bible, we find the greatest summons to sinners. Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The truth has a price that is so high, you could never gather enough money to buy it. But you can still have it. Come and buy. Even if you have no money, come and buy. The message of Scripture is you cannot gain this truth by your own efforts. You cannot get into heaven by doing the best you can. Your very best efforts, we read also in Isaiah, are nothing but filthy rags in God's sight when it comes to meriting His salvation. You cannot earn God's favor. You buy the truth by faith in Christ. You buy the truth, that is, by giving up all of your own efforts to satisfy God. It's the height of arrogance for anyone to imagine he can do anything that will gain God's favor. The message of the gospel is very clear. The favor of God is on the basis of the work of Christ. It's on the basis of what Christ has done. God's grace is the fountain, then, of His provision for sinners. You can buy the truth today, and you don't have to save money for the purchase. This is the greatest kind of investment plan anybody has ever proposed. And once you have bought this truth, Solomon makes it plain, do not turn loose of it. You will never want to sell it again. That's the third thing that we find, the most resolute refusal. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's a lot of buying and selling that goes on in the world. Those who study the various markets of the world, they spend their days buying and selling. They get orders. Buy this. Sell that. Sell that. Buy this. But here Solomon is saying, once you buy this, you don't sell anymore. His message is, don't surrender the truth. Sell it not. Not for anything. All about us today are those who are bent on selling the truth. They're involved in ecumenical efforts and in organizations that compromise the truth to join those ecumenical efforts, like the National Association of Evangelicals and other organizations like it. To join such efforts of compromise, you have to sell off at least parts of the truth that others may object to. But you can sell the truth in other ways. You can sell the truth by diving into the paganism of the culture that is around us. You can learn all about magic and the occult, as we find in the context in Proverbs chapter 23. You can engage in all kinds of parties. The part of the chapter that we did not read in verse 29 asks the question, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. So you can engage in all sorts of behavior, immoral behavior. You can become drunken. You can defy your parents and treat them with dishonor. You can seek out the fleshly pleasures of the world. You can do all these things. And that's selling the truth. Those who have bought such a precious commodity as the truth will come to value it and will not be looking to get rid of it. If you have the truth, rejoice that God has brought you to possess it. So walk in it. Love it. Live in it. For there are many evangelical churches today that are selling the truth in order to gain the acceptance of the world around them. They are opening the doors of their assemblies to the invasion of worldliness and are redefining Christ and negotiating the terms of the gospel. It's hardly a new phenomenon. Charles Spurgeon in the 19th century warned about churches in his time, surprisingly enough, that were also using music, the popular music of that time, to attract crowds. And Spurgeon said, the only thing that people came to the Metropolitan Tabernacle to hear was the preaching of Christ, because that's all they had to offer. But today, you have churches placing the gospel into a social context, and I read more and more about this, especially in recent times. When you hear expressions like learning how the gospel is placed into the context of social justice, social equity, and social action, instead of the terms of the gospel, justification, sanctification, that is selling the truth. So the message of Solomon is quite emphatic. Buy the truth and sell it not. The stakes are very high. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Buy the truth and sell it not. So ultimately, this exhortation has to do with the destiny of your soul. Buy the truth. That is the most valuable commodity. So buy it. If it means doing without everything else, buy it. And once you have it, cling to it. When you know the truth, it settles a lot of questions. That's what I've found. There are a lot of things I don't even have to spend time thinking about or considering, because I know what the truth is. So I hear people complaining about those who believe that the world was created in 6 literal days. And I don't have to spend time fretting about it and wondering, well, I wonder how I could answer that, because I already know Jesus said that that is how the world was created. So if I know the truth, then those things don't trouble me. They don't bother me. I'm concerned that others would come to know the truth, but I'm not going to spend my time fretting about whether I have the goods to answer such questions. When you know the truth, then your soul is set upon bedrock. When you have bought the truth, you have Christ. And as I have often pointed out, here's a lesson I learned in seminary many years ago, never forgotten it. When Jesus has said something, if you profess to be a follower of his, that is the end of the argument. What Jesus has said ends the argument. So when people want to engage in philosophical speculations, I come back to what our Lord Jesus said on any subject. That ends the argument for me. So it's not a matter of whether people believe it or not. That's not the issue. The issue is the Lord has said it. That's the end. If I profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So here's the everlasting investment. The truth is out there. Buy it. Make sure you have it. And once you have it, don't let it go. Don't listen to those who would say, well, you know, there are other ways of looking at things. The world is full of people like that. And ultimately, there are only two ways of approaching the world. One is the way that we find in the truth, and the other is the way of the devil's lie. So buy the truth, then, but sell it not. And you are on the path that leads to the eternal day, to the glory that we find in the presence of Christ.